me this morning. Lord God, we come to you and you have called us to be your servants. And that's what we're going to spend time talking about this morning, as that video was talking about that you've given us the freedom and you desire for us to choose to serve you with who we are. So Lord God, as we open your word this morning, I would just pray that you would speak into our lives. Heavenly Father, I pray that we would leave here wrestling with how it is that you would desire for us to be serving in the world that you've created. Heavenly Father, I pray that as we're together for these next moments, we can just set aside the other things that are going on in our minds and truly focus on you and what it is that your Holy Spirit might be saying to each one this morning. We pray this in your name. Amen. So this morning we're going to look at a passage of Scripture that is really key, I think, to understanding God's purposes, his purpose in our lives, in ourselves. It's the key to helping us, I think, align with God's purposes as individuals, as a part of the body of Christ, being a part of doing it together as opposed to just solo. So we're going to set the stage in Genesis chapter 12. If you're going to follow along with us, we're actually going to be reading out of Genesis chapter 12. We're going to read the first three verses. But before that, I want us to jump just back one chapter to chapter 11. So in chapter 11, we find the story of the Tower of Babel. We gain kind of some insight from this passage to the origin of a whole bunch of different languages that are created in that passage. Today, there's over 6,500 languages in the world. Just an interesting tidbit of information. About 840 of those are found in Papua New Guinea. That's a lot of languages in one place. At the Tower of Babel, back to our story, God, he drives a grand plan to make a name for himself. Man does. So we read in chapter 11, verse 4, that man wants to make this name for himself at the expense of God. And God responds in accordance with his righteous nature and punishes those who have sought their own glory, the glory that is really rightfully deserved to God. The sin of the tower is followed then by punishment of the scattering of the people and scrambling of the language. And here we see that instead of one unified people, the story started out as, that God has separated the people into peoples. And now there's multiple units. Immediately following the Tower of Babel account, God traces the genealogy back to Abraham and preceding the Tower of Babel all the way back to the flood. He traces it. And this is followed in Scripture then by the message of salvation. And this is our text. It brings us to the text that we're going to study this morning. This great text that we're going to look at, I think, is maybe one of Scripture's most wonderful pieces of literature that encourages us as believers to be missionaries, to share our faith. So I think that oftentimes, and when I say this, I am talking specifically about myself, but I'm almost certain that I'm not the only pastor out there that does this. But I think oftentimes us as pastors love to talk about doing missions where we are, right? How many times have you heard me speak on doing missions in Anvil or Cleona, being missionaries where you work or where you go to school, being missionaries within your households and all those things, which are great avenues. But sometimes I and other pastors, we gloss over this whole idea of taking the word of God to the far ends of the earth. And I don't know why it exactly is. I think part of the reason might be because we can see here what happens a whole lot easier. It's a little bit more exciting to see on, you know, Tuesday morning cars pulling up to the box out in the parking lot and taking food because we're doing ministry here. We're sharing the love of Christ. It's a little bit easier to see here when we're doing Vacation Bible School and we see the excitement of all the kids here and we participate in that. And it just, it is exciting to be a part of. So it might be just a little bit easier to promote that obedience to God. But the call to missions doesn't stop with Anvil Cleona. Doesn't stop with your workplace. Doesn't stop with your family. Doesn't stop with your school. Doesn't stop with ministry here at Fairland. The call to missions is a worldwide call. It's a call to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to every nook and corner of the world that we are a part of. So I want us to pick up. We're going to start in Genesis chapter 12. We're going to read the first three verses. It says, the Lord had said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. So he doesn't say, head to work today. He says a little bit more than that. Leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land that I show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. So unfortunately, I think this text, Genesis 12, the first three verses, has to a large extent been only partially understood. We only partially recognize some of it or talk about some of it. When we grasp the full meaning of this passage, we see that this passage is one of the central texts of the Bible because God says so much more to Abraham than just, I will bless you. That's the part we love to talk about from this passage. I will bless you. So you will be a blessing to all the families of the earth part at the very end. That's a critical piece to this passage. I think sometimes we neglect it. Sometimes we choose not to really grasp it and take it and consider it for our own lives. Right? That's why we have spending lines in our church budget to support missionaries, right? So that we can just send them our money and then they'll do the missions on the far parts of the world. Well, you know what? Each one of those missionaries has responded to God's call to go to those far parts of the world. And each of us as believers in Jesus Christ, we need to wrestle with this sometimes in our lives as to where would God have me serve? Would he have me serve where I'm at currently? And if that is the case, that is fantastic. There's no better place to be than where you are supposed to be. But if there's a nudge from the Holy Spirit that maybe you are to consider the far ends of the world, we better be responsive to that too, because there's no better place to be than where God desires you to be. Okay, so we're going to first of all look at verse 2 of Genesis chapter 12, where God, I'm going to say God's desire is to bless. His desire is to bless. It says, I will bless you. We like that passage. It's a good passage. It doesn't matter where you live. You will find the common desire in people's lives to be blessed. We all like to be blessed. We like that. Parents want their children to have more than they had. They want education and food and clothes and good health for their families. There's a universal desire to be blessed, and it's found among all peoples everywhere. The blessings of God, however, include much more than good health, food, shelter, and a good job. God's blessing includes salvation, our salvation, other people's salvation and the future heavenly home that we experience with God. God desires to bless us in ways that are spiritual and eternal. In Ephesians chapter 2, it highlights the true blessing of God. It says, we are made alive when previously we were spiritually dead. We're made alive. That's the blessing of God. The Spirit of God is at work in us. We were aliens here on earth, and now we are part of the family of God. Those are the blessings of God. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 3, God clearly tells Abraham that he will be blessed. However, God did not immediately pour out his blessing on Abram. Listen to verse 1 again. The Lord had said to Abram, leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land that I will show you. God first had an assignment. Maybe God first tested Abram and found that he was obedient in what he was instructed to do. God required something of Abraham, something that was in line with his purpose. Abraham demonstrated his obedience and his call to faith in his willingness to sacrifice his son Isaac. We have the responsibility that goes hand in hand with the blessing. When Abraham obeyed God, we read how God responded, Genesis 17, 18. And in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. Today, as believers in Christ, we're Abram's offspring. We're called to obedience and to faith, no different than Abram. Obedience is a part of his call. And this obedience goes right along with Abram's blessing that we see. If you have grown in your faith over the years, you didn't get to where you are today without taking steps of obedience and faith. God has tested you over the years as he tested Abram. So the first thing we see is God's desire is to bless. But then it goes on in verse 2, and we see God's blessing is the best. God's blessing is the absolute best. Verse 2, it says, I will make you a great nation. God had said to Abraham, as are the stars in the sky and the sands in the sea, this is how numerous your offspring will be. It wouldn't be possible to number the stars in the sky or the sands in the sea. God promised Abraham to have so many offspring that you couldn't even count them. So how many children did Abram have when he died? His son Isaac and Ishmael buried him. Abram had several children with Keturah, but you could count on your fingers the number of Abraham's children. On face value, it hardly seems as if it's the same as the numbers of the stars in the sky and the sand on the sea. Obviously, God, his blessing to Abraham meant more than the here and the now. Abraham could not have imagined in his wildest dreams all that God had in mind for him. Galatians chapter 3 tells us that God was giving the gospel in advance to Abraham. all those who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and are justified by faith are the children of Abraham. We can never orchestrate God's blessings to us. We can only cooperate with God's way. When we try to bring God's blessing through our own desiring, our own efforts, we will not accomplish what God has in store for us. It will require faith on our part to trust God and to trust his ways. Listen, when you trust God by faith, you receive the blessing of God. You must wait by faith on the promise of God. God doesn't always bless in the way that we would expect, maybe even the way that we hope. Anybody remember the little story in the beginning of the New Testament about the Savior being born in an earthly manner? A pretty simple barn. God doesn't always bless and do things as we expect. If nothing else this morning, remember this. No one else can bless you like God can bless you through Jesus Christ. Nobody else can bless you the same way. The truth is, the world will always promise to bless, but then it will disappoint. What the future holds for believers is beyond comprehension. That's what we celebrate even this morning in just another hour or so as we have this memorial service for Beth Bates. We celebrate the fact that she is in God's presence today. No one else can bless you like God can bless you through Jesus Christ. You must first face the future by standing on the promises of God. You must go forward in faith and not by the ordinary way of trusting in the flesh. Abraham has more descendants than the stars and in the sky. God's plan was beyond the here and the now. It included the spiritual, the things that Abraham would never even see. God's blessings go way beyond what we can ask for or what we can imagine. We must follow the ways of God when he calls us to obedience to truly be blessed by him. And we want that. We should want that. Because God's blessing is the very, very best. In verse 3, we also see that we are blessed to bless. We are blessed to bless. It says, in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Why has God blessed you? God has not simply poured out his blessings on us for us to stockpile them, to enjoy them for ourselves. God has called us out, set us apart. He's bestowed his love on us. But there's much more than just that. God has blessed us for the same reason that he blessed Abram, to bless all the families, all the peoples of the earth. Jesus reconfirmed that God has blessed us to bless others when he gave us the great commission that we see in Matthew chapter, in the last chapter of Matthew. Jesus told us to go and to make disciples of all the nations. In our verse today, it says, in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. You're going to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with all the people in the earth. Matthew, the Great Commission, go and make disciples of the nation. The Great Commission is a call to reach all the people groups. The Great Commission is a fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham to bless all the people groups. The whole world had just been scattered in different languages following the Tower of Babel. the unified people have become a collection now of peoples, people groups. The Great Commission is to go and make disciples of all these peoples, all these people groups. Here's the point today. God has called us to more than count our blessings. He has called us, like he called Abram, to be a blessing to all the peoples, the families, the people groups of the earth. You are the instruments through whom God has chosen to bless the people of this earth by sharing the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the greatest blessing anybody can ever have. So why did God bless you? Why did God bless me? So that we can be a blessing to others. In doing this, in being obedient to this, sometimes it puts ourselves in places where we have to go to people who historically maybe have been unfriendly or mistreated you. Right? This is what happened to Jonah with the Assyrian people group. These people had mistreated his own Hebrew people, but God called him to do what? To preach to them. To bless them with the knowledge of greater things. We are to communicate God's blessing to the world, to all the people groups of the earth. The one thing that we all know is that we're getting closer to the return of Christ. There's no doubt about that. We are getting closer to the return of Christ. The gospel will first be preached to all nations, all people groups, and then the end will come. We find this in Mark chapter 13, verse 10, and Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. Evangelism is not enough for the road ahead. It's mission. It's missions going to bless the unreached people that is needed today. For some, this calling is where you geographically live today. But we're not stopping there today, right? Because God might have way bigger things in store for your life, or way different things in store for your life. For some, being obedient to God's call in regards to this might take you to other states, to other countries, to other parts of the world. The call we read about this morning is that we take the gospel to all peoples. And my encouragement to each one of us this morning is seek God. Because this call is to all of us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. But seek God and what that looks like for you. Give the Holy Spirit the opportunity to speak into your life, to open the doors, to open your eyes maybe, so that you can see through the window of what missions might look like in another part of the world. And to allow the Holy Spirit to impress on your heart and in your mind, if maybe, just maybe, he would have you serve somewhere else. Now I'll tell you why, another reason why pastors don't like preaching on this is because we usually lose people when the Holy Spirit works like this. We feel like we lose people. But we don't, right? It expands the ministry of the kingdom when people are obedient to this passage. So my ask for you today and in the days ahead, so I ask for you to spend some time in prayer, asking God, where is it that you would have me be a blessing to others? Where is it that you would have me share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ to others? And ask with anticipation that you're going to hear from the Holy Spirit. And if you hear from the Holy Spirit that your mission field is your next door neighbor, praise the Lord. Say yes. Do it obediently. But if you hear that your mission field is on the other side of the world, do it. Take steps that need to be done in order to be obedient to God's call in your life. And take the gospel of Jesus Christ to places that maybe you've never even thought that you would visit. You'll see God do amazing things, whether it's your next door neighbor or across the world, when you follow in obedience. Because that's the way our God works. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time in your word. Lord God, you have called us as believers in Jesus Christ to be the conduit of the good news of Jesus Christ, the hope of the world. Sometimes we become kind of, we get into a routine of how we do it and where we do that and when we do that. So, Lord God, my prayer would be this morning that as we leave here, as we go into this next week, that you would wrestle in our minds and in our hearts. That you would speak to us. That you would lead us and guide us and direct us. And that you would open our hearts to be receptive of that as to where it is, Lord God, that you would have us be missionaries. For some, for many, it will be right here perhaps, but for some, for many, it may be other places. Lord God, help us to be an obedient people. Help us, Lord God, to do as you ask us, to be a part of taking the good news of Jesus Christ to all corners of the world. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.